Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Sprinkles of Sped podcast with the TBL SEC coaches. I'm Allison Brumley here with
Ann Gleason,
Caitlin Lee.
and we have two very special guests today, Jordan Beeves and Darcy Osgood. Welcome.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Jordan, we'll make you go first.
Okay, I am Jordan. I have been an SLP for gosh,
A
like
hot
four,
minute.
yeah, like a hot minute. And I think every SLP kind of has their niche, their population that they're good with. And I really like more special populations. Like I like the CBR kids and the SLC kids, and I tend to gravitate towards those kinds of kids. So I've spent a lot of my career working in contained classrooms, and that's me.
I'm Darcy Osgood, and I have been a speech therapist for about 19 years. And I,
There's no way.
I know,
yes,
right?
you, you
yes,
must have started when you were 12.
19 years, yeah. And I kind of fell into the programs and was intimidated at first, but then I kind of learned about AAC out of necessity, and then I fell in love with working with those populations and with different modes of communication and helping kids find their voice. So,
Awesome.
I
A
like
great answer.
I love that. And I guess we should probably mention that today we're talking about AAC with our SLPs. And if I have any more acronyms, I'm going to throw them all in there. But we mentioned CBR and SLC because we love our three-letter acronyms, which is actually Center-Based Resource and Structured Learning Program, which are specialized programs here in our cooperative center-based programs for students who have needs above and beyond that that we can provide in a more general education setting. So that's kind of gives people listening a little bit of a what, how many letters are they going to say?
Could be more.
So let's kind of give ourselves some background. What is AAC?
Well, speaking like just from, an acronym perspective, AAC stands for Augmentative Alternative Communication. So it's any form other than
Other than
verbal. I mean, yeah,
talking.
other than talking, that is how a person makes themselves or their wants, their needs known to another person.
It can be no technology based, low tech, or high tech.
Okay. So do you have some examples of different types? So if I may have seen or
Yeah. I would say most of our classrooms have low tech, and they may not even know that they have low tech. Any sort of forms of pictures, any kinds of visual schedules, anything that tells a kid where they're going, what they're doing, or anything that gives a kid the ability to, like, if they need something, they can point to something on their desk. What else? What am I missing?
So sometimes you'll see them carrying around a little notebook that has pictures in it, and that's called Picture Exchange Communication System, or PECS.
The sound of Velcro.
The sound of Velcro. A lot of times it's used as kind of a first step for kids that aren't fully verbal, and it helps them request mostly. You can do other things, but it does tend to be kind of a requesting tool. And its main purpose is to make sure that kids know that when they communicate, they need a communication partner. And so that there's a lot of that handing that communication to somebody.
It's also really powerful because I feel like PECS is a way that a lot of kids learn for the first time that they have power, and that asking for something, using something, gives them something in return. And that's such a motivator. It's so intrinsically
It's
motivating.
very motivating. They learn how to persevere to get their communication across. So that's what it's typically used for.
I would say another low tech is to, like, first then. I see a lot of, like, if we need to complete this work and then we can go out to recess, or so anything that looks sort of like
Visual
that.
schedules, requesting menu boards type things.
Like I'm working for.
Even I don't know, this everybody has a different opinion, but I would say even like a single kind of button switch is technically low tech. I mean,
Because you can
it's yes, and it's single output. It usually just says this one thing, like, hey, I need help, or I need a drink. I need,
So We have students that are using a single button, maybe because of mobility or just as a first step to learning that cause and effect of this made this sound, it made these words, and that, and I received this or this happened. Yeah. So,
And of course, high tech looks like iPads most of the time, right?
iPads with apps on them.
Yeah, we do have Darcy right now has a kiddo who has the capability of eye gaze, an eye gaze device. It's pretty sophisticated.
Those are typically insurance and medically
I would say outside
outside
agencies provide
agencies,
those.
yeah, and they could bring them from home. But yeah, there's devices that are solely used for a communication of some sort. So,
Eye gaze paid for by the insurance money because it's the big money, not the school money, which is the little money.
However, I have been trialing on iPads eye gaze.
You
And
can
it on.
can use
And it's
it
been working.
with the camera. It's pretty
Yeah,
awesome.
it has
Like,
been
that
working.
is so
I have
cool.
a student that's been requesting different videos
That's
using eye
amazing.
gaze and saying hi and participating in groups. So telling their feelings and such.
It's really cool. That's
Yeah,
amazing.
just using eye gaze. And you can even get it to like speak when you open your mouth or when you smile or when you, yeah, you
Or
can really
if you move
customize
in
it.
a certain way,
Yeah.
it
Yeah. I think just even we're starting the recording of our podcast, and my initial reaction is we are so lucky to be able to communicate the way that we are able to communicate and what a treat it is. But then I think of our kiddos that can't, and you provide them that way to communicate. And I mean, I'm sure it is just such a confidence boost and such a feeling of safety, even to be able to communicate like our needs and our wants. And so, and I think of the low tech stuff, and as a classroom teacher, I'm like, oh, I did that. I did that. You're right. I think there's so much that we're doing already. So, okay. So when we think about our AACs, help us and talk through with us, like, how do we determine who gets an AAC and what are some maybe classic students? Describe some
Characteristics,
classics.
maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say, like, any student that cannot speak effectively all the time. So there's some that can speak, but that's not always effective in getting their message across. Now, kiddos that have difficulty forming the words because of motor deficits, like
Lots of reasons.
apraxia, all the way to someone that has no words. Those
I think unfortunately there's like this perception out there that AC is only for a kid if they don't talk at all. And I think that what this perception that goes hand in hand with that is, oh, I don't want them to have some kind of device because it won't let them verbally speak. And like research and time again has proven that that's absolutely not accurate. In fact, the research goes the complete opposite way and says that if you give kids an effective modality to communicate, it increases their verbal output. So, I mean, what Darcy said is correct, especially kids with apraxia or kids who have even just severe phonological issues
Yeah.
or multiple sound errors. It's a burden for them to communicate. It
Yep.
goes back to what you were saying, where it's so easy for the rest of us to just talk and it's not for them. And so it's just helpful. It's a
Yeah.
tool.
It's almost like we take it for granted. Yeah. And that is a common fear for parents, like, will my students stop talking if they kind of talk? And they don't stop talking. I have students that imitate their device.
Absolutely.
It's cool because that was their unique thing they wanted to say, and then they're
Absolutely.
imitating it. So that's very cool. I feel like I've had several students that are increasing their verbal output. And also, verbal is easier. So they're not going to give up the verbal they can do because that's a quicker,
It is a
better.
it's
Yes,
more
you're going to
effective.
communicate in your easiest mode.
I
So,
absolutely.
yeah.
I had a kiddo last year who's now your kiddo who told her parents for the first time she loved them
Yeah.
because her device was telling them
She that message.
that she, like I love you, and then she verbally said it to them. I mean,
Wow.
it was amazing.
That's all the good feelings
I
right
yeah
there.
it
That's
was a
all.
really good feeling. I will take that.
And she just continues to
She's amazing.
with her communication.
Well, it's interesting because I'm thinking of like your Hazel, Caitlin, who's two. And 2-year-olds, when they want or need something, they're gonna have big feelings and big temper tantrums sometimes
Yeah.
because, but what we know is that behavior is communication.
Yes.
So while, her brain is still developing and learning that. And so then I think about some of our kids who now they're no longer toddlers, but they are still having big tantrums or big things because that's their easiest form of communication. And then, what do they replace it with? You gotta have
You got
something.
to find an easier way that's also what you like, an appropriate way, and also gets their needs and wants met.
If everybody could understand that, like just that one sentence, like all behavior is communication, that would be amazing. Because it is. I mean,
Well, and it's as people, we have like a fundamental right to communication, I
absolutely.
believe. Like that is a fundamental right. And so for a student, an individual whose ability to communicate is a device, low tech or high tech, for us as adults to not do that is like putting a gag on them. And it feels so very wrong. But I do see and hear of situations in schools where people are resistant to AAC.
I mean, Darcy and I have had that conversation a million times because you can't, I mean, no one of us doesn't walk into a classroom and like duct tape goes over our mouth so that we can't talk. So if you take something that a student is using and you it sits on a shelf or the battery dies or it's not available or it's not turned on or whatever it may be, then that's the same thing as putting tape over a kid's mouth who can talk.
And I have a lot of teachers ask me, well, what do we do when they're just playing on it or, messing on it, saying things on it that don't make sense to the situation? And number one, I think that might be like a babbling phase,
I was gonna say, isn't
exploration.
that developmentally
Absolutely.
Hazel and Hermione?
It's a babbling phase. They're exploring what words they have. And
And it
number
shows
two,
interest. Like they're interested in it. That's a huge deal.
And number two, what would you do with a verbal kid that you can't cover their mouth? How would you handle it? Handle it similarly by teaching when do I get to, when's
I
the
know that
time?
you really want cookies right now, but this is not the time for cookies. So let's go back to this and
Acknowledge.
we need to ask. We're working on finishing this worksheet with colors. Oh, yep, I know you really want those cookies. Cookies, cookies, but which color should we make our pumpkin? I mean, those kind of things.
And like learning, change the volume for different settings could even be a really
Well, we
important
change
skill.
the volume of our voice for different settings, and
And kick up and learn it.
that's very common things that it classroom teachers do as part of their classroom management is talk about like what's the voice level appropriate for this situation. So it would make sense that we would include that.
Specifically teach it.
Yeah. Because we have to teach kids an inside voice versus outside voice.
And it can be, I mean, I have been in situations where a kid will take their device into their regular classroom and, you know, maybe it's on full volume because they were at recess or something like that. And it is pretty loud. If all of a sudden you hear it scream out, "I want cookies," you know, and you're like, well, me too, but come on now. Like, so, I mean, it's okay to be like, man, our talker was really loud right there. Let's go and knock
Yeah,
that down.
model.
I love it.
Modeling is the key to all
It's
the
all the
learning.
learning.
All the
Sometimes
learning.
I
feel like I need a volume switch, and people be like, just bring it down.
mean,
Remember my parents just being like, really, Darcy, bring it down. Because I just have a naturally loud voice.
even now, my mom's still like, do you hear how loud you are? I'm like, I've
I don't.
no, there's
Don't.
no awareness for how loud I am.
Find yourself that.
So sorry if we're like blasting through your computer right now.
I'll work on that in editing. No, I get that. I get that. So, how do you determine who gets an AAC?
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that.
That's okay.
I think you go through the different levels of support to support their communication.
I would like it, I guess, ideally, I'd like it if as a person, whoever you are, if you're a para or a teacher or a principal or whatever, you know, and you had a concern about someone's talking, I would say, you know, hey, go talk to your speech therapist. And then I'd like it if kind of we all had a place in that determination. But I mean, I also don't want to limit it. I don't feel like it should be limited because there's different reasons.
But generally, your speech path is our go-to person.
And I get low tech out there as fast as I can and then go from there and see if that's meeting the need or not. And I think that's how we do with most accommodations and modifications. Is this level of support meeting the need,
Do we need to try something
or do we need to
else?
try something else? And
And what have they tried up until this point? So I
yes,
know
keto
not
record.
to try the same thing
Yeah.
or, you know.
And anyone is welcome to reach out. I have a lot of nice low tech
Oh yeah.
resources, and I'm
Oh
sure you
yeah.
do as well. So,
Yeah. Okay, so as a teacher or a case manager, how would I get the training on this device? And how are students trained? So like if a kid shows up with a pretty sophisticated, like if all of a sudden Johnny shows up in your class and he's got an iPad.
I think that's something that we want to improve on. I've been working on making a presentation, and I did present it to the paras of my school, but I would like to reach out to Gen Ed, and I would like to maybe even offer it at one of those days that you can like choose.
We'll talk
But
about
I've been
that.
working on that because I do think that it needs to be modeled throughout their day
I think it's
so much, and it's not as scary as you think
No, I think that's the biggest barrier
it
is that I think it's this question all in one. Like people just don't understand it. And so then they're like, ugh. And I think people are so afraid of hitting the wrong button.
Like we're gonna break it.
I
I don't
mean,
know, we're
I hit
gonna
the wrong
break
button
it.
all the time. Or I mean, I have definitely been known to tell a kid, I can't find what I'm looking for right now. Like, let's just push around and figure out where, you know, I mean,
To see us make mistakes and
absolutely.
correct it, because we don't want them to feel bad about
Yeah.
hitting the wrong word,
Well, and
or
think
what
about
do I
your,
do when I hit the wrong word?
well, exactly. And think about your verbal communication. We are constantly reformulating in our brains, repeating, you know, I mean, like you're constantly saying other things, revising what you're saying. So it's the same. There should be no expectation that it's different on a device.
And at the high tech devices, most of them have like a nice word find feature too
Oh,
that
that's
like
true.
leads you to. So you just type in the word you're looking for, and it
Yeah.
leads you to. So then you see the path that got to that message.
So for like students, is training like a one and done? Is it something that like I'm assuming it's a little more than 20 minutes one day here, like we have, we're adults.
No, I'd say it's ongoing, honestly. And I would say sometimes, like some of my really sophisticated users, like the girl we were talking about, I mean, she taught me things. I mean,
Yes, I think actually peers teaching each other has been a cool thing. I don't get it very often,
no.
but when you have a student that's using it really well, getting them in the same group as a newer user, they tend to be more tuned into a peer. So that's kind of cool. But one thing that I always want to get across is like when a student or when a kid is like 2 to 3 years old, they've already had like 4,000 or more waking hours of like person speaking to them in their mode of communication. And if a student's only having their device modeled 20 minutes a couple times a week, it would take them 84 years to catch up
Oh
to
my
a 2 or 3
gosh.
year old.
Wow.
And then if you're talking about a 9 to 12 year old, that would be like a 700 years
Oh,
to get to the
oh.
place of
So
how
you're
much
saying
input a speaking child
so you're
has
saying
gotten input.
20 minutes, 2 days a week in the speech room is not going to
Not
work.
enough. Yes. And honestly, like we're not asking you to like model every word you'd say. If the student is at a single word level, you're modeling 1 to 2 words. So you're saying a whole phrase verbally, but you're going to pick two target words, like eat cookie. If they're at 2 words, you're going to add a word to that,
Eat the
or
cookie,
eat
want a
cookie,
cookie,
things like that.
want more
And
cookies.
then you're just building from where they're at. And so you don't have to do everything you've said throughout the day. I even say pick a couple words within that snack time or within that art time that you're going to be like cut blue or the food items, and so that you've already found it, and you it's just more manageable that way.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of the more sophisticated devices too have, there's an eating page, there's an art page, there's a recess page. So all of the vocabulary you'd be looking for anyway is there.
So, Darcy, going back to those statistics of 84 years or 700 years to kind of for kids to catch up, make the connection between what we do here in the school setting and the home setting. Because in my mind, I'm thinking we can only do so much. But then to shorten that time span, how do you work with families at home to kind of build their capacity?
Honestly, it's very hard to get time with a parent to train them, but when we're ready to send a device home, I do like to meet with a parent, show them some of the features of the device, especially the word finding. What's this core page about? How do you get to some of the words that might be in your home routine, and then just talk about finding times within their day to model, because they will use different vocabulary than school words. And so when they're ready to go home, I like to do at least a brief training, but it would be nice to have opportunities for even more.
So our devices that when I say ours, the school
School.
district devices, it's okay that they go home and are used at home. That's almost
Yes.
encouraged, it sounds like, to kind of
Yes.
keep
Yep.
that
Well,
continuity
we don't
between
tell
the
kids
two.
to stop talking when they go home. Somebody would tell my kids to stop
Yes.
talking when they come home. Right?
Just for like 10 minutes.
Just long enough for me to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the devices can go home. We just work with parents to have a plan for that.
Yeah, I mean, I have had like overly positive experiences with what parents have done at home. I mean, they'll say things like, oh gosh, mealtime is so much easier because I know now what they're asking for. I know they really wanted to watch TV and now I know what they're asking for. You know, I mean, I just feel like when they realize what it can do for them, it's like this explosion moment where it's
Yeah.
like, oh my gosh, this is so
This
great.
is so helpful. And you can edit these programs, these devices, to add very specific vocabulary. People's names, specific interests and characters.
It's at home.
So, Bluey, you could put a
you
Bluey
can put
thing on
Bluey
there. Listen, I learned a thing. I learned a thing from Mar. I cannot even take credit. It was Marlene Rose. She taught me. You can click in a touch chat. And of course, you know this. You're so much smarter than me.
I just learned
I'm so
it too.
glad.
That's
But this student that I'm thinking of, like, loves this specific Taylor Swift video. And so you can edit the button, put the link in, it goes right to YouTube when she clicks it, and it just blasts this Taylor Swift video. And she loves it.
Very
That's
photo.
life-changing.
I did that with our eye gaze friend.
Yes.
Animal sounds. It
Oh,
goes straight to the animal sound.
hilarious. She probably
Yes.
laughs so
And then
much.
our other friend, I'm having it go to her like Trolls movies and stuff.
Yes. That
Just
is
as
so
something that's
helpful.
just immediately rewarding.
And it immediately captures their attention, and it's like, oh, it goes
That's
back to
cool.
what I was saying, like when they learn how valuable it is
Yeah.
to re like request and to
Yeah.
respond and to communicate. It's like, oh
Yeah.
yeah, I want more of that. That feels good.
I had a student that just got a device in her hands last week, and she was saying, want cookie, and we were freaking out, and we're giving her cookies, 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 and
A
she looked so smug.
little cookie. I got a
Like
cookie.
that light bulb just went.
I'm telling you, it's a cool moment you
It's
can
so,
see when it
it makes
happens.
my day.
Like,
Yeah.
I know how to get what they want now.
Oh,
You're like, can I get more cookies?
So I have seen a lot of cool, technically like high tech AAC, but I've seen like these are like TikTok, Instagram, like the teacher who has the shirt she wears to recess that has like a choice board
Oh,
on it.
yeah.
Yes. Or the
Or the
tattoo.
tattoo. We
I'm
all
like,
can be like, we're getting
I'm not
that.
passionate enough if I'm
I
not getting a
know.
tattoo. I've also seen some playgrounds have one as a
Greyhawk.
has it at the
Yeah.
playground to
Greyhawk has
facilitate communication. Because I think one of the things that we know is great kids can communicate with us, but communicating with their peers.
absolutely.
So how do we help peers, or like are there things that we can do to help facilitate those relationships? Because sometimes, not always, but sometimes our kids who struggle the most are surrounded by adults and not friends their own age.
Well, I have two thoughts. Number one, in my experience, I mean, and you can add or agree or disagree, but in my experience, kids actually take to a device 10 times better than adults do. The kids are
Intimidated
not, they're
by
not
it.
intimidated by it at all.
Yeah.
But the friend that we've been talking about, the one who was mine and now is yours, she took hers out to the playground last year, and a completely unrelated kiddo who also has had familiarity with the device saw her on the swings, went over to her, took her device, and started talking on it to her. And she, like, because he wanted her swing. And he was like, my swing. And she was like, no, like, sorry, I'm not keeping her
What?
on the swing. But it was
Yeah,
hilarious.
like a full-out conversation.
Full on conversation. That doesn't answer your question, but it
Yeah.
was a cool moment. But I mean, I think I have invited other kids, especially if we're in the classroom,
Yeah.
to talk to my students with
Yeah.
their device. And I think they think it's cool to
Yeah.
push the
Yeah.
button. And usually they have more patience than the adults do
Yeah.
because they'll wait for the student to respond. Whereas I don't know,
We get
I tend to be impatient.
Yeah. I have a student that he prefers to speak, but he is hard to understand. So he has a device and he wasn't using it much. you put it away, and I didn't want to force it on him. But, and this started before me. So Lisa was at my school before me. So she started and I continued it, where I would go into the classroom at least once a month, if not more. And he would get up with his device and he enjoyed this. So that was great. And he would ask like a would you rather question on his device and then pass his device around and they would answer using
Oh,
his device.
cool.
And they loved it and he loved it. And now this year it's a small group. We're still doing it. And he's adding more of like his specific characters he likes, like Pokemon and stuff. And so he's getting more excited about his device.
That's pretty cool. That
So,
is
yes. So I don't ever want to force it, but I do want it to be there when his communication breaks down. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
that's an easy way to incorporate it too,
Yeah.
like in a classroom.
Yeah. And the teacher was all for it.
Do you find it's hard to get buy-in from our gen ed peers? I feel like in sped sometimes maybe we feel less resistance, but that could just be from my perspective. But I don't know. Is
Like him
there
being Gen Ed or his peers?
like gen ed teachers, staff, is it like is there resistance sometimes? And then how do you help people kind of get over that resistance?
I don't think it's resistance so much as like not acknowledging it as much. Does that make sense? Like it's just sitting there.
I feel like they're I don't want to say intimidated, but
Yeah.
it's like I just can't worry about that. I don't know enough about that. So
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it there till
I've
the
got
therapist
all
comes
this.
in and she'll take care of it.
Okay.
So I don't feel like it's resistance. I feel like it's just there's a lot on their plate. It just feels too
And
much.
how am I supposed to be a part of this process? And that's what I would like to give more training so that they do feel more empowered to use
Well,
it.
what I think is cool, and I know that we've talked about this in some of our CBR meetings, but there is a way if you're standing at the board, it would probably be more for like elementary, I would say, because they use their
Boards
boards
more,
more. But there is a way, I mean, to be standing up there to your whole class and doing something and then having the, I don't know,
I think
the,
it's touch chat,
well, yeah, is it like the screen? I don't know, the
the touch
core.
screen,
And you can model along while you're doing whatever it is you're doing.
have it shining up on the board.
That's really
I think
cool.
it even does the output,
It
doesn't
does.
it?
It should. Yeah.
Like I think it works as that. We're learning about that
Yep. I
also.
am learning about that
Hopefully, we're
also.
hoping to get that at least into our
At least
like
into the CBR room. Yeah.
CBR and SLC program rooms.
Yeah.
But hey, if there's any gen ed teachers that would love to
Well, I was thinking of
lurk
some
to
of
us.
our, well, and some of our teachers who have some of our friends who are pretty sophisticated users, absolutely. Yeah.
I would just, I am excited by the possibilities that AAC has for kids and for schools. And it's just like those amazing moments for kids to feel a part of the community. Because if you can't talk, I can't even imagine.
Yeah,
I don't know how to
can't
shut up,
either.
so I can't imagine what it's like to not talk.
Or even just not even being able to have control to even make any kind of decision. No, I don't feel like apple juice this morning. I really want orange juice,
Being able
but
to protest and reject is
oh,
huge.
huge.
Being able to say no, stop, I don't like that.
There's a reason the first word most babies learn is no.
No.
That's true.
Sense of autonomy, sense of
Sense
power
of
over
self.
themselves.
Plus, they hear it a lot.
They hear it a lot. It's modeled
Yeah.
frequently.
So much.
I think my assumptions about AAC have just been completely blown out of the water, which is great. And I hope that
Well,
we
that's gonna
can,
feel good.
and I hope that we can then, as staff listens to the podcast and as you do your trainings throughout the districts, I
We
mean,
can link that PowerPoint in our show
yep,
notes so
absolutely,
people
we
can
should.
have an opportunity to go look at that. If you parting thoughts, if I am a sped teacher or a para or a gen ed teacher, what would you want me to know if I see a kid come in my classroom with a device?
Take a look at it, play with it. Don't worry about messing it up or anything. Just sit with them, let them teach you even. What do you think?
I would want them to know that it is, it's so interesting to me because we use so much technology in our classrooms, and this
In
is
life.
just another
But we're afraid
piece
of
of
this one.
that. I mean, it is for most, for 9 times out of 10, it's an iPad with a program on it. It's an app on it. I mean, yeah, it's just
And
a
ways
break
of
it.
vocab.
Yeah.
Ways of saving the vocab. I've had students change it to French,
Oh my.
change it to whatever.
But
We can get it back. Don't worry.
I thought I was smart. And then I met our friend who I had to literally remove the option for her to edit it because,
She was editing it for herself.
oh,
She's second grader this year.
insane. She's
It's
brilliant. Just insane.
amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Very technologically savvy.
Her
Don't
mom.
underestimate those young kids. They can navigate these devices.
Better
I
than
see them
we
with their parents'
can.
phones. Don't
That's
underestimate them.
a great point.
Yeah.
That's what
Great
I would
point.
want them to, yeah.
Don't underestimate these kids.
That's so awesome.
Well, thank you for giving our kids a voice. I mean,
Yes.
that's huge.
And
That
thank
is
you
huge.
for coming and talking with us. I feel like future follow-ups on AAC or anything else, you guys can come back and chat with us anytime.
Thank you.
It's fun. I love it.
I did, yeah.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.